Welcome everyone to the DC Beer Show. We are at DC Beer across social media. Brandy with the good hair. What are you drinking tonight?
Oh, Jake, I love you. Jake is joking because hair is not good. Hair has been in hat for days. Jake, what have I not consumed since I got off work today? It was a long day today. So I opened this smoked Helles from Schilling when I first got home, shared that with the partner. That was delish. And then Jerry of Share a Pint. Hey, Jerry, I know you're not on Instagram, but I know you're going to hear this. Hey, Jerry, what's up? He brought to the last beer share this Einstock Doppelbock from Einstock Olgerd, and it is delicious.
Heck yeah.
That one.
Icelandic beer worldwide.
Yeah. Thanks, Jerry. That was very, I thoroughly enjoyed that. And then I said, fuck it. And I made a Negroni with, rest in peace, District Made. Hey, Alex. Mike Stein, what are you drinking?
Well, in my Stein, technically a Tubinger, I am having the Czech style dark lager from Wayfinder, Secret Secret. It's not a secret that this Czech style dark lager is absolutely delicious. In my humble opinion, of the, I think it's half a dozen. I think it was six beers that just came into town from Wayfinder, which is originally brewed in Portland, Oregon, that this Secret Secret Czech style dark lager is the best. Completely biased, being the son of a man born in Czechia, currently seeking dual citizenship. Totally biased for the Czech style dark lager, but it's a dark lager. It's dynamite. Mr. Berg, Jacob Scoops Berg, if you will, what are you drinking this evening?
Just shout out to Wayfinder. I believe that if you're making a cold IPA and you're unsure of where to turn, their Witchy Brew really is sort of like the gold standard in cold IPA. It's not just an India Pale Lager or Hoppy Lager. There's a process behind it. It's very cool that we get Wayfinder now. We are awash in good lager, right? We got Live Oak. We got that drop of Notch. Now we got Dovetail. We got Wayfinder. Happy, happy. Anyway, speaking of lager, I've got started today with dinner. A lawnmower beer, considering that I just had to mow my lawn in March, which I'm not terribly thrilled about. New Allagash Spring Summer Seasonal Surf House. It is Distica, you know, like a Czech style light lager. They hit it with a lot of citrusy hops. I want to say that it's a lemon drop hop, but it's not really. It's probably something more like Callista, but it's super citrusy, super lemony, really nice, easy drinking. Then in Brookland, where I live and near where Brandy lives, there's a Norwooz Persian New Year festival every year. And I just randomly got in the metro, saw people partying, figured, hey, I'll swing through. And lo and behold, what were they drinking? But New Day IPA from Back Home Brewing, a contract-based beer. Brewed in Staten Island, hopefully soon a brick-and-mortar location in Bushwick, New York. Zara, the founder, the brewer, the owner of Back Home, was in Brookland selling cans. And so I've got here, this is a tax purposes alert. She handed me a 4-pack for a sample. Thank you, Zara. Back Home New Day IPA, a hazy IPA with apple and sumac, traditional Persian New Year foods. Sumac's kind of lemony. You don't really, really get it because hops can be lemony. The apple is there. Anyway, 7%, a lovely beer. Look for it at better beer stores in the area. All right, we got a bunch of stuff going on. First and foremost is Birch and Barley is usually closed on Tuesday, but they're going to be open on Tuesday the 26th. Brandy, why is that?
Well, I was hoping you'd bring that up, Jake. So I'm super jazzed. I miss the Brewer's Brunch at Birch and Barley back, right the day after Savor. I miss that. I miss that so much. And since I have been curating, coordinating this women's panel at Other Half, which is has already happened because this comes out on Friday. So happened last night. Hopefully it was great. I was like, I'm going to go all out for Women's Month. So I reached out to Greg and was like, hey, what do you think about this? He's like, hell yeah, let's do it. At Birch and Barley Tuesday, the 26th, we will be having a beer pairing dinner. The menu looks incredible. It's a 4-course dinner. And Megan and Anne from Lost Gin and Bonnie from Wheatland Spring will be there. And I have been so jazzed because I wanted to bring together Anne from Lost Gin and Bonnie from Wheatland Spring. They'd never even met, apparently. And because I'm manifesting a collaboration between the two breweries. I'm manifesting it so hard to the point where I was like, hey, let's do a beer dinner. So I'm so grateful and thankful for all of this. And I'm so excited. It's going to be delicious. So I hope you guys come to Birch Marley on Tuesday. I'm jazzed.
Well, Brandy, if I'm not mistaken, the dinner is supporting excellence in the industry. And if I were to paraphrase and steal a page from Chaka Khan's playbook, I would say, ain't nobody does it better than you.
Aww.
DC Beer co-owner Brandy. So
shout out to
Wheatland Springs and of course Lost Generation. And I have to say, despite getting close to or maybe even at or above 10,000 breweries in the US right now, with Lost Generation being one of the newest breweries in DC, we are constantly reminded how good their beer quality is. And I really feel like they've had others step up their game. We've noticed a wonderful increase in the beer quality at City State. We had our share at Hellbender. I had not one, but two absolutely dynamite lagers at Hellbender. So shout out to our old friends, Ben and LT. So we're really excited for beer excellence. Outside of beer excellence at Church Key on Tuesday, what else are we looking forward to as we cruise, just absolutely charge through Women's History Month?
I'm excited because, you know, I know you've heard me speak of this, but the women's panel is a huge deal for me. I've been so overly, you know, excited and chill bumps constantly just thinking about it. But, you know, the Beery Godmother, whom we've recently had on, is one of the panelists. And she's visiting all the way from Georgia because I really love that she gives all these beer facts and comes in a new way to the social media platform, the education of beer. And because she's visiting, I wanted her to have a legit DMV visit. So we are heading out to Virginia on Saturday. So tomorrow, if you're listening to this, we'll be at Wheatland Spring from 12 to 2 and at Dynasty. Shout out to Dynasty. Love you, Fabio and Travis and Lauren and Ramon. So we're going to be out there. And then I got to drop her off at the airport. So if you're out that way, we want to give Virginia love too, because I know we always stay in the DC, in the district. So come hang out. And then after next week, hopefully things start to calm down for me a little bit. But I'm looking forward to our beer share on National Beer Day at Third Hill. We haven't been to Third Hill for an event yet, so I'm excited. Are you guys going to show up maybe? Or you have other big plans for National Beer Day?
I mean, I live every day like it's National Beer Day. But I will.
Amen, Jacob.
Yeah, but I will be at Third Hill.
But there's only this day with the legislative significance, since your omnibus to make every day beer day has failed in the DC Council, Editorburg. All right, all kidding aside, fresh jokes aside, what else are we looking at? We have the beer share coming up at Third Hill. Super, super excited for that. What else is going on in the next few days, weeks, even into April?
The window for early bird tickets to the Maryland Brewers Festival is closing, so you should act soon on that, perhaps as soon as you're listening to this. Smash that pause button. That is going to be May 11th over at Carroll Creek. It always looks lovely. That's why Fox 5 puts it on like their like late night weather cam. You can see the water sparkle off the creek. They keep adding breweries. There are a host of new breweries popping up, places I haven't been, like RAK, Random Acts of Kindness, right on the creek. I believe that's an ex-Sapwood brewer striking out on their own over there. Sapwood makes good beers. He made beers at Sapwood, ergo, I think he's probably a pretty good brewer. So very interested to see how that shakes out. We also have another DC Brow Heavy Metal collaboration, another Darkest Hour beer. I know that Mike Stein and I recall Savor the Swill, the Brow Darkest Hour Helles. There's going to be a slightly overhopped amber. And so if you're a fan of Cap City's RIP, although it's being brewed at Atlas, Amber Waves, maybe this is going to be something coming up April 6th release at Black Cat, Black Cat.
Yeah, so we love amber ales because we're old school like that. We also love Go-Go and DC Hardcore. But yeah, I was just talking to Meth Gunasinghe, who is a brewer at Atlas Brewworks, and he had just finished up a batch of Amber Waves Ale, which was the beer that was made in DC's first brewery since the last one closed in 1956. That's Capital City Brewing. So those beers are actually coming out. If you go to Capital City, they have a Kolsch and an Amber, and those beers are actually coming from Atlas, who's done a bang-up job on those. They've now got the GABF hardware to prove it with their stout. But we love the old, and we also want to usher in the new. You know, we're in an age of all these closures, but we're pumped. New breweries are still coming online. Brewers who worked for their old brewery now opened a new brewery, and we want to see that circulation continue. We want to see the blood pumping and the blood flowing and new things going.
Before we finish off March, I want to give so much love. I know I've been giving love. We always give love, but to all the women in beer. It's been an incredible month for myself, but just don't let, you know, your feelings start to simmer. Just keep supporting and keep being awesome and keep finding ways to help other people. I do hope before we kick off April that I will see everybody next Wednesday, the day after the dinner, the pairing dinner. I'm going to be so tired, so you got to come keep me awake. But we're going to be at the Solace and the Navy Yard. So we're going to have an all-night happy hour. Super shout out to Solace for giving us a huge discount to our group. We'll be there from 5:30 until, I don't know, 9:30, 10, who knows. And they're giving us 25% off of our tabs all night, like industry folks. So come on out. Don't let it go to waste. And I can't wait to cheers with everybody.
And I've seen the weather forecast already for next Wednesday, and I hear it's partly cloudy.
Oh, with a chance of pops.
Oh,
I don't know. Jake, you might have taken some of my crazy pills on the water on the waterfront.
We're just gonna keep, you know, crushing the Solace puns.
No, we love it, Brandy. I love that you're treating March like Snallygaster week. You're just back to back to back. I love it. Keeping that fire burning, keeping the lights just cranking. We love to see it. So come see us at Solace in Navy Yard. A wonderful little location there, you know, a stone's throw from Atlas Navy Yard and then Blue Jacket further down the strip.
It's really pretty there. It's huge and it looks out on the water. So, I mean,
we'll reflect off the water if we truly happy hour into the wee hours. But we'll see. Regardless, it's a great deal. Yet another reason you should support DC Beer on Patreon. We love to see it when new supporters come in. And a massive thank you to everybody who's already supporting the DC Beer Show and all the work we do at DC Beer Media on Patreon.
I can't wait to, you know, reflect on meeting Dr. J. Jackson Beckham, because she is a role model, an icon, really, in the beer industry, in this world that we live in. And, you know, when I announced the panelist to all the other panelists, they're like, holy crap, Dr. J's coming. Oh my God, I get to meet Dr. J. Like, all the other women on the panel, they're like, oh my God. Even, you know, Matt Splaim, the GM of Other Half, one of his bosses in New York was like, oh my God, you got Dr. J? That's huge. So I'm so thankful and I feel honored to share the quote unquote stage with Dr. J. And I can't wait to hear more from her.
Dr. J. Jackson Beckham, thank you so much for joining us on the DC Beer Show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Mike.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. You are a very important person in the beer world, not just because me, some person says that, but because people whose work I respect so much more than me have said this expressly. You wear many hats. You have titles with one of the biggest trade firms in the beer world, but you're not coming to us as representative of that. Tonight, we're talking about some of the other hats you wear. I'm asking you to wear the hats of brewer, writer, and recovering academic. So these hats you wear, I was going to say thank you so much for coming to speak about the rise of authoritarianism and autocracy around the world. But that's actually a different podcast. That's not tonight's podcast. But first off, happy spring. What's growing in your garden right now? Or what do you plan to plant? What are you reaping? What are you sowing?
I mean, we only have a half an hour, so that's tough. But I will say early spring stuff is out right now. And so lots of coal crops. We've got our greens, cabbages. Got a lot of peas out. My peach tree is like in full bloom right now. So it's got beautiful, bright magenta blossoms on it right now. I've got four apple trees. They're just starting to show me a little bit of buds. Our fig tree is budding. My grapes are coming along. So we grow a ton of like just vegetable crop, but the fruit is like fermentation fodder. So it's exciting to see that stuff come back.
That is super exciting, hearing about everything that is and will be. So I'm wondering what beers, ciders, wines, teas, coffees, or other delicious beverages are you currently enjoying these days?
Yeah, such a good question. So it's an interesting time to ask because I am currently taking a long hiatus from alcohol. So I have been drinking a lot of like non-alcoholic stuff just to kind of like, I'm late to the party, right? Like I know it's huge, but getting like really into not only like NA beers, which, you know, are just like exploding, but some things that people are doing with spirits. I'm loving the stuff that's literally just like really herbaceous elixirs where they're just sort of like, this isn't supposed to mimic a standard spirit. It's just like a thing we made up and it tastes amazing. That's been really exciting. I've been like reuniting with coffee quite a lot and like just sort of enjoying it. And it's interesting because, you know, I'm in the middle of going for level 3 Cicerone, passed the tasting portion, missed the written exam by 3 points the first time I took it. So I got a retake. But, you know, in doing so, I think I was just like so laser focused on beer, you know, as part of that preparation and actually just spending some time like thoughtfully drinking other stuff is been like really, really, really helpful for me as far as just expanding how I think about things, expanding like my sensory work, just getting better at like tasting things. And then, you know, the last sort of thing I did before my break started, I was at CiderCon, which is a conference I love. I think it's my 5th year at CiderCon. And I did a sensory seminar at CiderCon that was geared towards the certified Pommelier certification. And, you know, a lot of the cider tasting strategy and lexicon comes from wine, which, you know, it's different. It's a little bit more deductive tasting. And again, like I just like learned so much. And like anybody who's seen me at CiderCon knows I'm like a kid in a candy shop. I love new stuff. I love the fact that I know absolutely bupkis about apples. Like I love that I'm such a noob. Like it's so fun. And that's, so I would say, you know, of the semi-recent things that I've been drinking on the alcohol front, you know, the cider exploration always gets me excited every year.
Cider is a wonderful beverage. And I think one that folks really embedded in the beer world are lucky to get out and bring a beginner's eye or a brand new palate to it. You made a decision to leave academia and to pursue equity work full time. And you've had great success from this outsider's perspective. You've had great success doing that. But I'm wondering now, reconciling, you know, you have all this expertise in academia. Sometimes it's described the pathway of academia is a one-way path. If you leave, it's more akin to a divorce than a career trajectory shift.
You're 100% right that leaving academia is like a divorce. And like, I'll put a finer point on that. It's like a divorce where you really do love the other person, but like everything is so utterly broken that you can't see a pathway forward. So it's just like gutting on every level. Like if you could leave angry and burn it all down, it would be way easier. But like that's unfortunately not what it's like a lot of the time, or at least wasn't like that for me. When I left higher ed, it wasn't to stop being an academic, right? It was to be a better academic. So, you know, I tell everybody, like, my research is better now. You know, my teaching is more impactful now. My service has far greater impact now, right? So, like, ironically, like, I'm a far better academic outside of academia than I ever was inside. Like, but I think the other piece to that, and certainly influencing my decision to go into sort of equity work, is higher ed has equity problems, right? And some of them are really serious, whether you're talking about, you know, how adjunct labor is used and used in the hard exploitation sense. You know, we talk about the cost of college and accessibility. We talk about how debt is leveraged just to give people access. Like, there are a lot of problems that were hard for me to wake up every day and sit well with, right? Like, it felt tough. So, you know, coming into a space where someone was like, hey, there's a lot going on in this particular industry, in this, you know, in this social formation, we don't really understand it. We need somebody to figure out what's happening. And I was like, oh, you need a researcher, right? And then they were like, yeah, we need somebody who can like help us develop some best practices and share them. And I'm like, oh, you need a teacher, you know? Like, I say it sort of jokingly, but in a very real sense, like, I don't feel like there was any translation from my prior skill set and profession into this one. I just felt like it just clarified everything that I already wanted to do. And I got to do it in the place where it actually fit.
So it's refreshing to hear there's not really a lot of, you know, transformative work or a shifting of metrics that needed to happen to get you there. And as we're looking forward, sort of thinking ahead, I want to go back actually to a chapter in a book you wrote, which to my research, very limited, was published 10 years ago in 2014. The book is called Food and Everyday Life. And your chapter was Drinking Local, Sustainable Brewing, Alternative Food Networks, and the Politics of Valuation. And I'm wondering if you feel that there's been significant changes made in the practices of sustainable brewing and alternative food networks.
It's so amazing that you think about that. First of all, like the fact that that was 10 years ago is wild. Like I'm just like, oh my gosh, that's incredible. So that chapter in particular was actually a chapter from my doctoral dissertation that I published in this edited collection, the Food and Everyday Life collection. And I can't even, it's hard to quantify how much has changed since then, right? So, you know, I was looking at this the other day, I was trying to talk to someone about it, is like, when you write research about culture, right, or about history or any of those things, it's like the complexity sometimes is hard to wrap your head around. You know this as a historian, right? When you write about the very recent history, it's like literally still happening. So it's very much writing about a moving target. And that was certainly the case already 10 years ago, or probably 12 years ago when I was actually writing this chapter, that like it was like hard to write and be accurate because stuff was changing so fast then. But, you know, in that chapter, what I really was getting at or looking at was that, you know, breweries were doing something different in terms of like how they generated value for the products and experiences they sold. And for those of you who are, you know, wondering about that, you know, my dissertation work is called a cultural economy. So it's sort of like an economic analysis, but it kind of contends that like numbers are and supply and demand are not the only thing that drives, right, economic action and trends. Culture does too. And so in this chapter, I was looking specifically about the culture of sustainability, locavorism, you know, AFNs or alternative food networks, right? And I was looking specifically at a couple of breweries who were like kind of trading on the value of sustainability and localism, but they were doing it super differently, right? So like one brewery was very much about how local, like hyper-local it was. It literally had like a kind of a beer CSA where people could like order their beer and pick it up at the farmer's market that was across the street once a week. They had a foraging program so that people who like foraged their food, like I got a pawpaw tree at home, I could forage my pawpaws and sell them to the brewery who would use them in a beer, right? So like that was how they did sustainability. Contrasted it with a different brewery who had like just a super state-of-the-art facility, right? So like really great solar capacity, CO2 recapture, right? Like they were doing all these other things. And it was so interesting to me that both of them were sort of trading on the logic of sustainability, but like doing so very, very, very differently. What I've seen in the over the years since then is that if those two examples 10 years ago sort of represented two ends, it's almost like the spectrum has entirely filled out, right? So people have, you know, adopted any number of these different practices, you know, whether they're like some of it's about new technology and some of it's about sustainable reuse and some of it's about sourcing and ingredients, right? Everybody's sort of taking on these types of practices and building them into just what they do from the start. Like it's not special anymore, which I think is really great. And maybe for me, you know, given the work I do, perhaps like the most significant thing is that there has been for some this natural connection to social sustainability.
Yeah, that's very well said. And it is remarkable to think about two ends of the spectrum getting at some of the same ideals with very different methods, and then mm-hmm. just a vast field full of different ways to hit that goal, you know, with different balance points and on the spectrum of, you know, social people power and making sure that there's sustainability within our people from the HR, you know, back of house side to our customer service to selling direct to consumers, that whole spectrum. It's really quite remarkable. So when this episode comes out and we all hear, you will have already paneled at Other Half, but we just have to give a shout out to Latrice Harris, the beery godmother, who is Brandy was just mentioning earlier in the episode about bringing some educational newness to the social media space.
I love Latrice. I love what she's doing. We got in contact like very early in sort of the evolution of what she was doing. It was so obvious that like she's just like a bright, charismatic spark and that like she was going to have a natural audience. You know, it helps that she's like a really, really talented epidemiologist, and educating the public is like what she does as a professional. So I always laugh because I'm just like, I love it when I can see it, right? Like people who do this sort of educational work and turn it and kind of bring all that skill to the beer space, like it's beautiful and wonderful. And she's such a kindred spirit, and I'm super excited to hang with her.
Well, Dr. J. Jackson Beckham, thank you so much for joining us on the DC Beer Show. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you.
You too, Mike.
Thank you, Dr. J. Jackson Beckham. Thank you, Mike Stein. Excellent interview. All right, folks, you're going to see a bunch of us in Virginia come tomorrow, even if the weather doesn't cooperate. We will. Parting thoughts from both of you?
I just want to appear on a Beer Fact Friday. Wink, wink, Latrice. That's my goal.
Beer Fact Friday. It's Friday. It's the DC Beer Show. All right. So again, we're at DC Beer across social media. I want to leave you all with parting thoughts from friend of the show, Josh Chapman of the late, great Black Narrows, who says, Zara is an absolute gem. And for me, back home beer is exactly what the hope for the future of beer looks like. A standard where the quality of the beer is only exceeded by the quality of the people and ethos behind it, truly representing a time and a place. Well said, Josh. Thank you, everybody, at DC Beer. We'll see you around. Be well, everybody.
Oh, that was beautiful, Jake. I liked how you ended that. Well done, sir.